international success coach and noted author, Constance Arnold, delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and your words to work for you and to bring about the life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am Constance Arnold, your grateful host of the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. And today I am broadcasting live with just a little touch of southern flavor from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. You know, I'm so grateful that you have joined me today from all over the world. And, of course, you know that it is not an accident that you're joining in today. As I say every Sunday, and I love saying this, that the Spirit of God has attracted you here so that you can be inspired. And inspired just simply means in spirit, so that you can be motivated and move to action. Well, how are you doing? Have you had a great week? Are you purposefully enjoying your life? Are you grateful for your life, your friends, your family, your health, and the love that you have in your life? And I hope that you can answer yes to all of those questions. Well, I'm doing really, really well here in Atlanta. It's been a hot week. It is summertime in the South. And can you believe that it is already August the 1st? I can't believe it. It's really August the 4th, but it's the first week in August. And it seems like that I was just saying yesterday, Happy New Year. And time is really moving fast, and that is why every day you should live your life joyfully and purposefully. And like I said, I've been really enjoying my summer, and I guess a couple of weeks ago I decided every week I'm just going to share with my listeners a little tip that I'm using in my life for that particular week. And what I'm doing is focusing in on specific areas in my life so that I can make sure that I'm mastering that particular principle or ritual. And so this week what I focused in on was understanding that manifestation is a process and that whatever my goals and our intentions are, that I'm making sure that I am enjoying the journey. You know, that's pretty big for me because I'm very much a goal-oriented results person. You know, I love achieving measurable results. And really, in the past, I was a little intense and driven. And really, the Spirit of God has really calmed and balanced me. And so this week, I specifically monitored, am I enjoying my life? Am I enjoying this day? Am I learning from my mistakes? Am I grateful? Am I in the moment? Am I in the now while I still hold in my focus what my desires are? So, you know, this is a really delicate balancing act, but I am making sure that I'm really enjoying where I am today. And in the Lord's Prayer, it says, give me this day my daily bread. So during this day, I have the bread of wealth and the bread of love and friendship, success. And so I am learning to embrace that and enjoy that. You know, I know so many successful people, and it's so interesting. We all think that when we have enough money and fame and the million-dollar house and the love that we desire, that, man, that is it. But I've talked to so many what we call, quote-unquote, successful people, and they say that once you get to the top, wherever the top is, the top for them was, you know, maybe the highest optimum level of achievement, that it's never what they thought it would be, and that many of them really regret that, hey, I did not enjoy my journey along the way. So that is my tip for this week for you. Have goals, but enjoy, accept, and embrace where you are, because change is really a process. Okay, and also each week I'm going to feature a specific product, and this week I want to feature a focus in on my affirmation CDs. You know that you create your world with your words, and that whatever you continually say out of your mouth is what's going to happen in your life. And if you're not saying anything, you really lose out by default. So your words, your declarations, and your affirmations daily really help to manifest and accelerate what you desire in your life quicker. So you've heard me say that affirmations really help to change the neurological pathways in your brain and create new ones. So I have MP3s of success. Do you need that? We all do. Self-love, I love that one. And wealth. That will really help you begin to shift your life. So every morning, if you're a morning person, you can just, before you get up, put my affirmations on, close your eyes, and just repeat after me. Or if you are a night owl, before you go to sleep, you can relax and get in your bed and put your headset on or your headphones on and just listen to me declare just truths over your lives, and you're going to repeat them after me with all the conviction and faith that you have. So I love it because my assistant Sabrina, and by the way, thank you for all your prayers for her. She's doing really well. She really put some beautiful, soft, relaxing music in the background, which will really help you to relax and get in that wonderful sleepy state of a relaxation subconsciously, and it will help you to affirm and declare what you want in your life. So you work the investment. Nothing happens without investment, folks. So invest in yourself. It's only $4.99. You need to get all three of those affirmations. You can purchase them right now. You can download it right now, and you can start listening right now. So go to my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com. You're worth the investment, and get moving on declaring and affirming what you want to happen into your life. Alrighty? So today I'm going to be teaching on how to manifest change. So after these quick commercials, I will be right back.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com. Are you ready to create the life of your dreams? Imagine partnering with a coach that can help you manifest extraordinary success. Constance Arnold has been a licensed therapist and coach for over 25 years and has successfully worked with more than 10,000 clients. Constance will help you clarify your goals, eliminate self-defeating beliefs, and create strategic plans to manifest your dreams. Constance offers a variety of coaching packages, pay-as-you-go, half-yearly, and yearly coaching. Contact Constance today for guaranteed coaching that produces extraordinary and permanent results. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Okay, I am back. You know, whenever I teach, I really have been moved by the Spirit of God in a particular area because I'm very prayerful about what I teach, because I say, God, I really only want to teach what people really need. So today I'm going to be teaching about how to manifest change. And, you know, desiring to change or desiring to have change in our lives, you know, that's very natural. Change is just a part of life. You know, I believe that God puts these feelings down on the inside of us. Sometimes feelings of restlessness, sometimes feelings of, I know I deserve more, sometimes feelings of, I want more, and I don't want to live a life of mediocrity. And so today, I don't know what area in your life you desire to change. It might be losing weight. It might be, man, I want to purchase a home. It might be, I want to get closer to God, or I want to go back to school online, or I want to attract love into my life. Whatever it is, that can happen for you in your life. And a change is inevitable. The only thing that doesn't change is God. And we can all say hallelujah to that, because we need something solid and stable in our lives that we can really hold on to and that we could count on. And then the Bible, it says, I am God and I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when I used to read that, I'm like, what does that mean? How can God be the same yesterday, today, and forever? And now I know what that means, because God lives in the eternal now. He's in our past, he's right now, and he's in our future. So to God, it's all now. So the only thing that doesn't change is God and universal laws. Universal laws are fixed, but everything else changes. So today I'm going to be talking about six things that you can begin to do to begin to manifest change in your life. But I'm going to get started with a parable in the Bible that I really think shows you how a person decided to change and what their thinking was and what change really looks like. And then I'm going to deal with the five stages or the five psychological or emotional stages of change, and then I'm going to deal with the six steps that you can begin to take when N-O-W to really begin to what change your life. So I'm going to talk about the prodigal son, and some of you may know what that is, and you know that that is a great example of grace and change. And I'm going to read it. It's Luke 15, and I'm reading the New International Version. And so just listen. Okay, this is a parable of two sons. Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So the father divided his property between them. In those days, it was customary that the older child or older son would get his inheritance first, but since the younger child asked, the father just gave both of them their inheritance. So not long after that, the younger son, after he got all of his money, he went off in a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. He must have been a party animal. And so after he spent everything, there was a severe famine, I say lack, in that whole country or in your life, and he began to be in need. So anytime you're in need, we know that something is not right. So he went and hired himself out, that means he got a job, to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. Oh my goodness, here he was living a life, a luxurious life, and he's feeding pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything, because, you know, in that day, Jewish people, to eat pigs was unclean. And here he was, what? Feeding pigs and hungry. And this is the main verse. When he came to his senses, or when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me to be like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. Action. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against you and heaven, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, don't pay any attention to my boy. Quickly bring the best robe, and he put a ring on the son and sandals, and he said, we're getting ready to have a party. For the son of mine, which was dead, dead in his thinking and in his actions, is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they begin to celebrate. And so that is a great picture of someone who was in the depths of despair, but who made a decision to change his life. So let me just cover a couple of points. Number one, he came to himself. Or he said in his mind, what in the world am I doing here? Have you ever said that? Are you saying that now? What in the world am I doing here? How many of you have said to yourself, I must be out of my mind to have stayed in this relationship, or I must have been out of my mind to think like that? And so he came to himself. And I believe that means that in order to change his life, he needed to awaken to who he was. He became enlightened, or he had a spiritual awakening. See, that's the first thing. Secondly, he has spent his life, energy, and money and was empty. He had spent it on other people, other things, other places that were not purposeful for him. And so he was frustrated. He said, my goodness, I had all of this money. I partied. I had a good time. I wasn't purposeful. And now look at me. So how many of you have spent time, energy, and money on things, people, places, and those things have not and did not add value to you? And so it's time for a change. I had a young lady say to me just the other day, she said, Constance, you know, I have spent money on wigs and weaves and fingernails and traveling and going out to eat and going to concerts. And all of those things were outer, but I have never spent any money on the inside to change myself. And so he had to make a decision. All right, it is time for a change. And then he was isolated. You know, anytime you're isolated, isolation leads to depression. And so, but many times when you're alone, that's when you really begin to think, okay, man, how did I get here? I am going to change my life. This is the lowest that I will ever be. So sometimes out of isolation, you can make really quality decisions. The next thing he did about change was he recognized that his future could be bright. While he was sitting in that pig pen, I'm sure that he had glimpses of, oh my goodness, I remember what it used to be like with my father. I mean, I had a 7-course meal. I had servants. And so he began to get a vision of what change would look like. How many of you, every now and then, you get a glimpse of what your life would look like if you could make a decision to change? Every now and then you get a glimmer of how wonderful and awesome and abundant your life could be if you would just make that decision to change. And so he began to get glimpses of his future. And I'm sure he began to visualize, oh my goodness, it will feel so good to be in my own bed and sleeping with my servants, etc. So he began to see his future a little bit. He was separated from his father and was trying to do it on his own. My goodness, we're talking about change. And how many of you feel separated from God? You're trying to start this business. You're trying to go back to school, but you're doing it all on your own. The Bible says, of my own, I can do nothing. And I love what Dr. Wayne Dyer says. He says that most people have the belief that they are separate from God, and that keeps people from changing. The Bible says that God is on our side, and that God doesn't withhold any good thing from us. And I love this. If God be for you, who can be against you? So if you got God on your side while you are attempting to lose weight, if you have God as your partner building your business, I mean, how successful could change be in your life? So, and then lastly, upon returning to the Father, he was united with his source. He apologized. He surrendered to his dad. He said, I am so sorry. And of course, he received a restoration win immediately. So in order to manifest your change, you need to give and receive restoration. If you are offended, if you are hurt, if you have any resentment, you need to release that. Release that negative energy so that you can begin to change. And restoration will come to you quickly. I know so many people who are mad, upset, offended, hurt. And it really just saps their energy, and it keeps them from moving forward. And, you know, I wanted to share that with you because the Bible just has great examples and great parables. And a parable is simply a story that God has shared to share principles with us. And so here was a guy who was just in the depths of depression and lack and want and need and not living a fulfilling life. And he came to his senses. He awakened to the fact that I want to change. I can change. And he got up and went back to the source that could help him change. All right, and I want to share that because I have a lot of Christians who listen to me, and they're really afraid of the law of attraction. You don't have to be afraid of the law of attraction. The law of attraction is just like any other universal law. It's not God. We know that God is almighty and sovereign, but it is a law that if you will begin to implement it in your life, it will really help you. So you've heard me say this before. You have the presence of God, and then you have the principles of God. So it's a merging of the two. All right, so now we're talking about change. Let's talk about the five stages of change. These are the five psychological stages of change where you can kind of monitor where you are. I like to tell people about these stages because they kind of really give an inventory of kind of where you are. Ready? The five stages of change is like a model, and it's a useful framework that describes the series of stages that we go through when we're changing our lifestyle. And like I said earlier, I don't know if you want to change your weight loss, and I'm just using it hypothetically. If you want to change your career, you want to change cities, you want to change how you're thinking, you want to get out of a relationship that you know is no longer serving you. So these are the five stages of change. Number one, pre-contemplation. That's a long word, isn't it? So people in this stage, or if you're in this stage, they don't really want to make any changes in their lives or in their habits. And many people don't even recognize they have a problem. They may be pessimistic about their ability to make change, or they may even deny all of the negative effects existing in their lifestyle because of this thing that they need to change. And so what happens is they live in a state of denial. How many of you know people in denial? And man, when they are in a state of denial, there is nothing that you can do because in their mind and in their thinking, they are okay. And so this stage is referred to as the denial phase. And unfortunately, it's difficult to reach people or to help people that are in this pre-contemplative stage because they're in denial. And usually, it takes an emotional trigger or something really traumatic or an event to really snap people out of their denial. You know, for years, you know, I worked as a drug counselor, and I saw so many parents bringing their children in, or so many wives coming in with their husbands, and until that person decides, I won't change, there is nothing that you can do. And so many women, they say, well, I'm praying and believing God, but pray and believe God, but still make sure that you're taking care of yourself emotionally and psychologically. So that's the first stage of change. People think that, hey, I'm okay where I am. I'm fine. One lady told me, she said, Constance, I'm not overweight. I'm fluffy. I'm like, okay then. So I realized it was nothing that I could do for her, even though she was 200 pounds overweight and had high blood pressure and could hardly walk. So until she comes out of that stage of denial, she won't change. The second stage is contemplation, and it's during this stage of change that, you start thinking about things differently, like, I don't want to be here anymore, and you start weighing the cost, and you're becoming sick and tired of being sick and tired. You start thinking about how much time do I need to invest, or how much money do I need to invest, and possibly the benefits of this behavior modification. Oh my goodness, if I lose weight, then I would be able to. And so you are contemplating whether it's something that you want to do, etc. And so do you want to lose weight, or are you contemplating going back to school, etc.? Now, you would think that people in this stage are ready to do the work, but sometimes people, even though they're contemplating, they never do anything. How many of you talk to people and every year they say, I'm going back to school? I think I've shared before, I had a guy who owned a barbecue place, and every time I saw him, Constance, I'm thinking about opening up a good old Southern barbecue place. And at first I used to get really excited, but when he starts saying that for like 7 years, I'm like, okay, this guy is in the contemplative stage. And that means you're contemplating, but you're not doing anything. All right, we're talking about the stages of change. And then the third one is the preparation stage. And people in the preparation stage, they've decided, okay, I am so sick and tired of being here, I am going to make a change. And so it is making a quality decision. And a quality decision means that come hell or high water, I am going to do this. I am going to do whatever it takes to change this negative habit or to move in the direction of what I desire. And you hear me say almost every time I teach that Henry David Thoreau said, begin moving in the general direction of what you desire. And as you move, more specific details will begin to come to you. They will begin to be revealed to you as to exactly the specifics as to what you should do. So in the preparation stage, you have researched, and so you researched the weight loss programs. You have researched the online educational classes, and you are what? You are ready to make a move, baby, because you are sick and tired of being where you are. So that is the preparation stage. I got that out. And then the fourth stage of change is action. You heard me say earlier that Tony Robbins says that whenever you hear something, you should take action immediately. And in my program, I have a saying, wow, within 1 week, you need to do something. And so, and I'm not going to go into too much detail, but you need to begin to move, as I said earlier, in the general direction of what you want. What can you do? Where can you begin to take action, etc.? So essentially, it is taking action that moves you toward your desired change. And I'm going to get into a little bit more detail later on. And so you can read all of the books you want to on how to have a flat stomach in 30 days, but it's only when you put your posterior on the floor and begin doing crunches that change begins to come in your abdomen. Alrighty, and the last stage of change is maintenance. And this is a stage where you have accomplished successfully what you desire. You're really excited about it. And how do you sustain success? And, you know, this is really important because some people think that once they get success that, you know, okay, I can just sort of chill out, I can just sort of relax and whatever. But honey, whatever it took to get you there is going to take that to keep you there. I know that in marriages, a lot of times when people get married, they call it the 7-year itch. And I don't know if it's a 7-year itch, but that people start taking each other for granted. And you know, when you're dating, you love talking on the phone. You could talk to her for like 3 hours and get up the next day and talk to her again. And now you say she talks too much. or, you know, he loved going to football games. You know, football season is coming for my U.S. listeners, and I think the preseason is starting this weekend. And so all he looks at is golf, and all he looks at is football and soccer. And, of course, you didn't have any problem with that when you were dating him. You were just very quietly nestle next to him and lay on his shoulder. Why? Because you were interested in what he was interested in. And so if that's what it took to really manifest that marriage or that relationship, it's going to take the same thing to what sustain it. So number five is maintenance. What does it take? Not only physically, but in consciousness, because whatever you do not possess in consciousness, you will not keep. And so a lot of people who get money really, really, really quickly and they don't have a consciousness of wealth, many times they don't keep the money because, why? They don't know how to maintain it, etc. So think about those stages of change. Which one of those stages can you relate to? Is it the pre-contemplative? Is it the contemplative? Is it the preparation? Got that out. is it the action stage or is it the maintenance stage? And, you know, just taking a look at that, looking at that model may really kind of help you to kind of show you exactly where you are, because it is the will of God for you to change. For you to manifest change in your life. But we are co-creators with God. And so when it comes to changing, you will have to learn what is my part and what is God's part. What do I need to do? And then release it to God, and he will accelerate the hows and the winds and bring them in my life. Alrighty, so here we go. Here are the six things that you can begin to do when, N-O-W, to begin to manifest change in your life. And I guess the first thing I want you to do is get out a piece of paper and write down the one thing that you want to focus in on. You know, I'm pretty big on focusing in only on one thing. And the reason why is that when you focus in on one thing and you accomplish that, you really get excited about it. You're like, wow, if I did that, then I can do this. So we're going to focus in only on one thing. So number one is, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? And I'm not going to even elaborate on this one. Decide what you want. Which area do you desire to have change in? Write that down. Is it money? Is it you want to spend more time with your family? Is it weight? Is it career? Decide on what you want. Because you have to remember that in quantum physics, there is unlimited possibility and probabilities in your life. And it's only when you observe and are focused and are look at that one probability appears in your experience. Everything else that collapses. So number one is easy. I'm not going to elaborate on that. Decide the area where you want to change. And write that down. So you can see it, and because you know when you write it, it's something very powerful about writing something down. I feel that it's written with the faith and the conviction and the belief of your heart's desire. Number two, that's easy. Number two, are you ready for this? In order to manifest change, you need to own up and be the driver of your own life. Stop blaming your childhood. Do something about what happened to you in your childhood. Stop blaming your husband, your coworkers. Oh, my goodness, Constance, my children. You know, don't blame anybody. Take full responsibility for your life and say, hey, in this particular area where I desire change, I'm going to be the driver of my own life. Go deep and find out, why are you stuck in this area? Why hasn't things changed for you in this area if you feel like you need to do that? What experience or beliefs have convinced you you know, that you cannot change? Do you have repeated behavior in your life around this area? You know, a lot of times when we're trying to change and we have maybe tried to lose weight, I'll use that example. Maybe you've tried to lose weight and you have tried every diet that you can Google, and nothing has worked for you. And when you've done that, I mean, you really, your consciousness is one of failure. I can't do this. This is too overwhelming for me. So go back and take a look at this. Maybe the diets that you tried were too rigid, and that just didn't work for you. Maybe it was unrealistic. Go and find out and research, what do I need to do to own my own life and get into the driver's seat of my own life? And then examine that. A great example that I would like to use is a gentleman who came to me, and he had had two businesses. And the first business was a bakery, and he had taken all of his money out of his 401k, and he didn't have a mentor. He didn't go to the Small Business Administration. He didn't do any kind of demographic research as far as, is this a great place to put a bakery, etc. As a matter of fact, there was a big bakery in Publix right across the street from him. And so, consequently, what happened was the area was in transition and people began to move, and he didn't have a lot of traffic in that area, and so he failed. We're talking about how you can own your own life and get in the driver's seat, but we're taking a look at the experiences and the beliefs that have convinced us that you cannot change in that area. And so then he started a second business, and it was a party planner business, kind of like Party City. And it's where people would come in and buy birthday balloons and costumes and, you know, all those kinds of things. And he was doing really well, but once again, he was on his own. And I'm just going to say to anybody who is thinking about changing, I just believe that, I know, that when you have help, when you have a mentor, when you have a coach, anytime you're dealing with change, that really just exponentially accelerates your progress. But he did not have anybody. He was just kind of like a solo entrepreneur out there on his own. And so what happened was eventually the neighborhood changed and people were going to Party City, you know, which is a big chain, instead of coming to him. And so he said that he felt that he failed miserably for himself and his family. And so by the time he had contacted me for coaching, he was ready to start his third business. And what we realized was that it wasn't that he was stupid, but it was just that he did not have enough people and or knowledge to help him to be successful. What we did was I sent him to the SBA Small Business Administration. He went to a local college, Kennesaw State College, and for about 8 weeks, and got some great training on how to start a small business and where all the money was. And so he realized that it wasn't that he was a failure, even though he had convinced himself that he was, but that just he had not equipped himself with the right tools. So once he got that information, he was ready for change. That's what you call preparation. And so once he was prepared, oh my goodness, he's been in business and very successful for a couple of years and is really, really excited. So that's why I believe that before you begin forging ahead, that you really need to take a look at why have I struggled in this area, so that you can really go on the inside and change those little naughty negative beliefs. All right, so that is number two. You know, I believe in taking action. When? Now. The third thing that you can do is, ready for this? Accept the things that you cannot change. Because we want all of your attention to be solely devoted on and focus on what you desire to change. So when you accept and embrace what you can't change, it really helps you to what? Refocus on what you can change. Okay, everybody listen to me. You cannot change other people. You cannot change your wife. You cannot change your husband. You cannot change your grown children. You cannot change your coworkers. The only person that you can change is yourself. And so take your energy away from trying to change other people. Some of you are or have been very dysfunctional and codependent, and you do not know how to set boundaries with people. You have been so focused in on other people, it has been hindering you from changing yourself. And so when you realize you can't change people, I had to realize that because, you know, being a counselor and a therapist, I just wanted to change the world. And even in my practice, when people come to me, sometimes they come to me and they will pay their money, and then all of a sudden they will stop. And, you know, I will email them and call them. And no judgment on my part, I have learned to release them because they may not be ready for change. And so refocus your energy and accept the fact that you are the only person that you can change. And guess what? When you do that, the most powerful thing you can do is to be bold and awesome and powerful and live a powerful life where people will come up to you and say, my goodness, what are you doing? I want to do what you're doing. Okay, so that's number three. Number four, and I love this one. Show up daily in your own life. What do I mean by that? Show up daily in your own life. Every day you get up, and I want you to do the very best that you can do. Show up in your life. God is waiting for you to show up. So what do I mean by that? Every day you need to be and do something toward your change and your dreams. And I don't care how small it is, but you got to remember that you must plant seeds toward what you desire, because in this universe, in this world, it's seed, plant a seed, time, and then harvest. So every day you show up in your life by making a phone call, sending an email. Every day you show up by talking to someone about your dream. Every day you show up in your own life, not in somebody else's life, visualizing and declaring. And so many of us show up for a while and then we're like, oh, I'm sleepy, I'm depressed, I'm despondent. But no, keep showing up in your life. You know, sometimes when we do something very small, we don't realize how great that is. I had somebody who just tweeted something on Twitter, and a very successful person saw it, contacted him, is now mentoring him. If I called his name, you would know who he is now mentoring him, and just the miraculous showed up in his life. All he did was tweet a sentence. How interesting is that? And so many of us just allow our feelings to be jerked around. One day we're like, yahoo, we're excited about our dreams, and then in 3 weeks, if we don't see anything, we're like, I've been really trying, but nothing has really happened. So you make a decision that no matter what your feelings are, that you're going to show up daily. And the Bible talks about seed time and harvest. I said that a few minutes ago. And so remember that there's a system in place. Plant a seed, give it some time, and then a harvest. And a great example of that, once again, would be my own life. You guys know that I wanted to be a speaker, and I was so excited. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to be a motivational speaker all over the world. And I start calling people and emailing people, and guess what? Nobody responded to me. And that was when I was in my little pitiful days 20 years ago. And I decided I'm going to contact business networking associations. I'm going to say, let me come in and speak to you. And all I want to do is to be able to sell my book and products in the back. Man, was I motivated. And I was emailing and calling, and 1 week went by, 3 weeks went by, 4 weeks went by, nothing. And then I just got pitiful. And I did not understand that there was a success system in place, and that if I would just show up every day, regardless of how I felt, and plant my seeds, eventually and inevitably I would have what? A harvest. But what did I do? I got depressed and stopped. But somehow I got enlightenment in this area, and I said, I'm going to be consistent. And I just started sewing and sewing and sewing. And the long story short, the lady contacted me to come to Dublin, Georgia, which is 3 hours away, I went to speak on the subject, Dress for Success, which is not even my forte, but man, I nailed it. I rehearsed it. I practiced it over and over again. And at the end of that, she came to me and she said, guess what? I have a large contract and I would love to use you as a subcontractor. And I said, really? How much money? She said, how about $100,000? I almost fainted. It was a hot day. I remember that. And I'm like, oh my goodness, just that one seed, that one phone call. So never underestimate the power of a seed song. Never underestimate the power of a seed. You never know what's going to happen when you plant that seed, but you've got to show up every day in your own life. And, you know, I love it that in Ecclesiastes 11, it says, in the morning, sow thy seed. In the evening, withhold thy seed not from thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike. So what is this saying? Hey, you don't know which seed God's going to use or accelerate. So keep sowing. In my life, you know, sometimes the least likely person has helped me. I remember once I was speaking, and all the other speakers went before me, and I was the last speaker. I was really upset, and, you know, because one speaker was famous, and he took more time than what he should have. So I was grumbling. That wasn't a great attitude, was it? I was still growing then. And so I spoke for, I think, 5 minutes, maybe 10, I'll say 10 minutes. And at the end of the session, one lady came up to me and said, wow, I really liked you. She said, I have a local television program. And I'm so sorry you didn't get an opportunity. But in those 10 minutes, I was really powerful. I might have been a little mad too. But I was really powerful. And the great lesson in that is what is for you is for you. And so God works everything together for my good. And I was on her television show. And as a result of that, because in this city, she was like the Oprah in this city. And as a result of that small seed of 10 minutes, big and major doors were opened for me. So plant your seed in the morning. You're showing up in your life. Plant your seed in the evening and just expect for the hand of God to reach down, reach his hands in all of those seeds that you planted daily to create miracles. But you have to give God something to work for, work through. And I heard somebody say you need to see yourself as the pitcher. Like in baseball, you are throwing the ball. And then, but you got to have a ball to throw. And then when you throw the ball, you allow God to make the home run. Wow, I love that. Because that shows that what the how is up to God. And so basically, you're setting your GPS system. How many of you have a GPS system on your car? I got a new car. I'm learning how to use it, my GPS system. And so you set that GPS system on where you want to go. And so it can navigate so many different ways for you to get home or to get to your destination. But even if you make a wrong turn or you pass the turn, what's going to happen? It will renegotiate the direction that you're going. And so that's what you do. You just keep your mind focused in on what your end result of the change that you desire and allow God to renegotiate how he's going to get it to you, because the what is up to you, but the how and the when is what is really up to God. Alrighty, so what are you going to do? You're going to show up in your life every day planting seeds. We're talking about change. Oh my goodness, I'm going to make it number 5, pretending counts. You might say, oh Constance, you were doing good until you start talking about pretending. What do you mean by that? How many of you know Cher the singer? Cher used to pretend that she was signing autographs because she had become famous. Larry King used to interview his childhood friends in his father's basement. And Jim Carrey wrote out a $20 million check because he knew that he was going to become a movie star. And they were all pretending. So when we say pretending, we think, oh my goodness, that's something little children do. No, that's something people who are successful do. Every successful person I know pretends. And so I want you to start pretending about what your life would look like when your change comes. A great example of that, I heard a story about a woman who she decided, okay, I want my husband now. So she started pretending. She cleaned out her closet in her guest bedroom because, guys, you know we need the big closet in the master bedroom, right? So she cleaned out her closet in the guest bedroom. She was pretending, that's where my husband is going to put his clothes. I'm like, okay. And then what she started to do was she cleaned out her garage to move her car to the left to make room on the side. She started pretending. And then she started really researching the restaurants in her city. Let's see, we can go to dinner here. She started researching and pretending that she and her husband would be going there and she would take herself there. And she decided, well, we're going to sit here. So she was pretending. So she started to do everything that she could to change her life. And guess what happened? You already know what happened. She met her husband quickly, and he put his clothes in that second closet because he was building a new house. He was able to park his car, and he just loved the restaurants that she had chosen. Why? She was pretending. Larry King was pretending. Jim Carrey was pretending. Cher was pretending. So I want you to start pretending every single day. So how do you do this? I want you to get a timer, or you can get your iPad or your computer out, and set that timer for 5 minutes. You know, just like it takes you about 5 minutes to brush your teeth, love yourself enough to take out 5 minutes and say, today I'm going to pretend about my desire change. And it might be you're pretending that now you can run a mile and you can hardly walk. Or you might be pretending that you are receiving your master's degree. Or it might be pretending that you are moving into this new home. And so you put yourself in the state of or in the feeling place of, I have it now. And that will help to accelerate you're moving forward. And when you do that, I mean, all of the angels, all of the universe conspires to help you. Think about that. But you have to, what, give God something to work through. So I want you to pretend for 5 minutes a day. How many of you are going to do that? Let me see your hands. I can see them. And lastly, number six, and I love this one, to bring about change. Detach from the end result. Okay. So you're detaching. Okay, Constance, now you always talk about setting your intention and being detailed, and now you're telling me to detach from the results and let it go. And you know, the first time I had heard that myself, I'm like, that's a little ridiculous. But this is what I tell everybody. Why do we need to attach? Well, because we're very controlling. We're used to controlling things ourselves. We're not used to trusting God and letting go. We want to know the details of and how and when and if it's going to happen, etc. But when you detach, what you're saying is this means that you're relaxing and you're trusting God to bring your highest good to pass when and how he desires. So when you detach, you let go of the how and the when. So let's just say you say, well, I want to be married by the end of the year. That's and I want you to hold that intention. But you let go of that, and you may be married by October. Why? Because God is the one who determines the when and the how. There are so many variables. God has a million ways to get your desire to you. Great example of that would be if I had a dinner party and I invited 20 different people who lived in 20 different places. There are a million ways they could get to my house, depending on where they are. You know, one person may be coming south. You may be south in your thinking. And so that may mean God may have to navigate and get things to you quicker, or maybe what you consider to be slower. And so detaching means that I trust God. I trust the outcome. And whenever I don't get something that I desire, I always say this or something better. are my highest good. Whenever something hasn't happened for you, a deal might have fallen through, that relationship didn't work, that was not your highest good. So the last one is detach from the how and the when. And, you know, there's a verse in the Bible I'm going to close with. God said he would do exceedingly, abundantly, what, more than you can ask or think, according to the power that works on the inside of you. How many of you want more than what you can even ask or think? So today, make a decision that, Constance, I am going to change. I refuse to live in mediocrity. I refuse to stay where I am in this area. And I'm going to take the steps and the information that you shared on this podcast, and I'm going to change my life. When? N-O-W. So I want you guys to send me an email and let me know what changes you're making. And my email is Constance@FulfillingYourPurpose.com. Man, this was so good. I'm so excited. I'm going to listen to it myself. And just a quick reminder, Jaden Sterling and I have been doing a 30-day web creation experience, and it is so awesome. The group is manifesting all kinds of abundance and increase, etc. And so we have decided we're going to be doing some group coaching. And so for more information on that, you may want to go to, you need to go to Facebook and type in Wealth Creation Experience, and we would love for you to join us. It's an awesome experience. Well, this has just been phenomenal. I hope your life has been changed. I know it has been. I don't hope. I know that it has been changed. And remember, go to my website and purchase those affirmations on success and on self-love. And it will and on wealth, it will really, really help you. And, of course, would love to partner with you in coaching. If you want to talk about it, Constance@FulfillingYourPurpose.com. Well, I love you. God loves you. And remember this, the best is yet to come in your life.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance will be back next week with another inspirational show. For more information, go to FulfillingYourPurpose.com or send Constance an email at Constance@FulfillingYourPurpose.com.